We come now to our second lesson on Gog and Magog. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, that is the age of evangelism, the church age, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth. He is going to have a worldwide ministry of deception. And this is ordained and approved of God, by the way. He shall go forth to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Whoever they are, they represent the entirety of all the unregenerate, but the deceived, unregenerate, but evangelized forces of the earth, everywhere, in every nation. God just lists them as Gog and Magog to gather them together to battle. They're going to say, we're going to have our way. Finally, Satan has started off by saying, I will be like the Most High. I will sit among the stars of God. I want everybody to rule and worship me. God said, I'm going to use that. So he lets him loose and he sends him forth to the four quarters of the earth to deceive the nations, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, the church, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God shall destroy them with the brightness of his coming. We read you in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25, God shall destroy them without hand. So the Lord is going to allow this to happen, to clean up all the masses of the hypocrites who say they know God, but they're still dogs and sows, as we read you in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Now, we want to go to John chapter 8, and our second thing that we want to see in this lesson. Maybe you missed the first thing. Well, what was the first thing? Satan had to be loosed in order for Gog and Magog to appear. The second thing is, in John chapter 8, these are birthed from beneath. John chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. And ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? They just like Nicodemus. They didn't have any spiritual mind at all as to what he was talking about. Now listen to verse number 23 of John chapter 8. And he saith unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. That's what he said. These are birthed from beneath. And I said, therefore, unto you, that ye should die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. So ye are from beneath. He is from above. Then in verses 37 through 44 of John chapter 8, I know that you're Abraham's seed, physically speaking, you're born of Abraham's lineage. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Your soul, it's possible to be a church member and be lost and on your way to hell. These people could trace their lineage back to Abraham. But Abraham was the father of the faithful. They did not have any faith. They were physically Abraham's descendants, but they were not spiritually Abraham's descendants. They did not have Abraham's faith. I speak that which I have seen with my father. Now listen, and ye do that which ye have seen and learned with your father, the Amplified reads. My father, your father. think. How does someone get to be a father? To get to be a father, he must have an offspring. He can be a man and not be a father. He can be a husband and not be a father. To be a father, there must be a birth. So Jesus is talking about that. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have heard and learned with your Father. There had to be a birth. They birthed from beneath. I am from above, ye are from beneath. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And physically speaking, in their lineage, that was true. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. So Jesus is telling them that he was the one that preached the gospel to Abraham, and Abraham believed him. Listen, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. If you were born again, you would love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen at verse 43 and 44 of John chapter 8. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. Think about it. Since the devil was their father, they had to be born of the devil. There had to be a birth from beneath. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning. You're trying to kill me, which shows that you are of your father the devil, because he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. You can't receive the truth, neither did he, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies, and he's the father of you. You're of your father, the devil, and therefore you believe lies. So we see that there was a birth from beneath, as well as a birth from above. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 38. Matthew 13, 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now listen. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. In another parable, the seed was the word, but not in this parable. He said the seed that brought forth the tares, they are the tares, they are the children of the wicked one. Ye are of your father, the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we understand and see, dear soul, that there is a birth from above. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. And when you read that born again, it has to do with being born from above. In fact, that's what the Amplified Bible reads in John 3:3. You must be born from above, but you're born from beneath. So there are two different births. These were born from beneath. Therefore, they are Gog and Magog. And like these Jews who could point at the lineage and say, see, that's my father and that's my grandfather and that's his grandfather and all the way back to Abraham. We came from Abraham, physically speaking, yes. But spiritually speaking, you were born from the devil. You're of your father, the devil. So this is what we understand and see, dear soul, that there is a birth from beneath as well as a birth from above. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 10. The book of Acts chapter 13 and verse number 10. And he said, O full of subtlety and all missions, excuse me, and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of God, of the Lord? So this is what the apostle said to Elymas the sorcerer. He says, Saul or Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon the sorcerer and says, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. He recognized that this man had been born from beneath, that he was born of the devil. He was a child of the devil. John chapter 13 and verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. What are you talking about? We're talking about, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. He was troubled in spirit, John 13, 21, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And Peter said, Lord, who is it? Verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I will give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. There's his birth. Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And in verse 30 it says, he then having received the sop went immediately out, and it was night. All darkness fell upon Judas once he had received the sop, which was an impression, and it was evidence that Judas was the one that was going to betray him, and he didn't betray him until he was born from beneath. Satan entered into him. That's what the scriptures say. So we find, dear soul, that those, John chapter 3, who are born from above, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, John 3, 5, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And everybody's all confused about who the water is and what does that represent. The next verse tells you, that which is born of the flesh, born of the water, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Honey, you better get me to the hospital. I think the baby's coming. How do you know? Because my water broke. He's born of the water. He's born of the flesh. And there's those that are born of the Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And I take that must to be emphatic. Everybody will be born again. The Gog and Magog bunch will be born from beneath. But those who were taken out of every kindred and nation and people and tongue by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and redeemed were born from above. He says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it wills, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whence it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's the definition of those that are born of the Spirit. But Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. How can one get to be a father except there is a son? And how can one get to be a son except there is a birth? Ye must be born again. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse number 3, Matthew 13 and verse 3, and get on the right page. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower, S-O-W-E-R, went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because there was no deepness of earth. When the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Then some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. Verse 8, but other fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. How many types of soil were there? Four. How many were good soil that brought forth fruit evidencing eternal life? One. One from four leaves three. You have three types of soil that don't bring forth any good fruit. But that word is the kingdom. Excuse me. That seed is the word of the kingdom. It caused there to be, as it was germinated, some fell by the wayside, never did get into the soil. The birds came and got it. Some fell upon stony places, and it sprang up. It did what it's supposed to. It sprang up. But the soil wasn't any good. It was rocky. And so the sun came up and scorched it. Then others fell among thorns, and it withered away. Listen, hear ye the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, verse 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, and he endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Then the third one, he that receiveth seed among thorns, is he that heareth the word. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, he beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Excuse me. Three soils. Nothing wrong with the seed. The problem with the soil. Lands on hard ground, the birds come and get it. Lands on stony ground, not much soil there. It springs up like it's supposed to. But it doesn't have any root. So the sun comes up and scorches it. Then it's gone. And he said he with joy receives it. But when persecution comes, he's offended. And he that received the seed among thorns is the one that gets all involved with society and, you know, he plays the lottery and makes $1 million, and next thing you know, he abandons all of that he learned about the Lord, and he becomes unfruitful. So there are three times as many hearers on bad soil as there is on good soil. So those three or Gog and Magog. The seed's not different. It's the word of God. It's the preparation and the condition of the heart that caused the difference. And three out of four fell aside and did not produce everlasting faith. So these people are evangelized. They said, well, I heard the word of God. I went down the aisle and I got baptized back when I was a teenager. There ain't wrong with me. You don't want anything to do with God and the gospel. What are you going to do with it? You don't have to do anything with it. God's going to handle it. He shall be handled and destroyed without hand. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25. He shall be destroyed with the brightness of Christ's coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. So we understand that God shall destroy them in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 9. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So you understand and see, dear soul, that Gog and Magog are simply those people who have been evangelized. They have had some effect upon their life, and it's not without effect. The stony ground, the thorny ground, it had effect. But there was no lasting effect. So these are the souls that we understand and see. They turned out to be Gog and Magog. Then in Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, like Christ. Sowed good seed in his field. The field is the world. The world's the Lord. Excuse me. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Then he went his way. Then when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, the tares appeared. The servants came to the household and say, sir, we sowed that field. Didn't you have good seed? Did you give us bad seed to sow? Whence cometh it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Now listen, this is the Lord Jesus Christ in a parable telling you what God's mind and intent is about people who receive the gospel in wayside, thorny ground, or stony ground here. They don't hear it to any lasting effect. He says, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. He said there'll be five in a household, it'll be three against two and two against three. Three people get saved, two lost. Two people get saved, three lost. I don't know what the combination is, but dear soul, not everybody that hears the gospel comes to a full and complete knowledge of Christ. Let both grow together. This is a mystery in our minds. Well, you know, back when they were young, my kids came to church with me. But now they got on up and got some age on them, maybe got married, moved off somewhere, and they say it's too far for us to go. Whatever the excuse was, they quit coming. Or you remember old so-and-so used to come to church all the time, now we can't get him to come. Dear soul, people fall away from this. And Jesus said, it's not because the word wasn't good. Preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. It's the gospel. It's God's gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So it's a matter not of a bad gospel or a faulty seed. It's a matter of a faulty ground. This is how you get Gog and Magog. They're evangelized, but they're unregenerate. They won't repent. The dog returns to his vomit. The sow returns to a wallowing in the mire. Why? Because they're dogs and sows. That's their character. They're not sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me without fail. You, dear soul, if God stops under Zacchaeus' tree and said, come down, I'm going to your house today, he'll get splinters in his breeches coming down out of that tree. He's going home with Jesus. Why? Because he's a sheep. What you don't understand is what we have been brainwashed with is that the gospel is for the comfort of the human being. It is not a social gospel. It is not for the comfort of the human being. The gospel is for the glory of Almighty God. How do you get tares separated from wheat when the roots are intertwined? You let both grow together. The same sun, the same rain, the same soil content prospers them both. But he says, in verse 30 of Matthew 13, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The Lord will take care of it. God will separate it. You do what you're supposed to. You preach to these people. You pray for these people. You provide the gospel for these people. You do all that you can according to what God told you to do, but then it's out of your hands. Leave it alone. But mankind can't stand it because the lot of the ministers in the churches down through the ages have not been God-called men. They've just been folks that thought, well, you know, I'd like to try that. Get up there and tell everybody what to do. Get up there and everybody look at me, you know, and praise me. And they did. And the churches got filled with unregenerate preachers. So they said, well, you know, old lady Long Tongue, she's got a lot of money and she contributes a lot of money, but she's got an old reprobate son or an old ungodly daughter. And I don't want to offend her by saying those children are not elect. So I better tone this gospel down. And they changed the word of God. And we all now, in this last 100 years in America, think that the gospel is for the good of man and it's for their comfort and for them to be made comfortable. But the gospel is for the glory of God. So we look at it from a viewpoint of man's benefit and not from God's glory. And therefore, we can't understand Gog and Magog. Because they were evangelized, but they were not regenerate. Now, let me show you something. In Hebrews chapter 6, let me show you the sun and the rain coming down upon the seed. The book of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth vegetables, meat fit for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessings from God. You plant corn, you plant beans, you plant peas, you plant okra, whatever you plant, the rain comes down. But once a week or so, you have to get out there with your hoe or your plow, and you have to plow up all the weeds, being careful not to chop down any of the vegetables. Why do the weeds come up? Because that's the way this world is. An enemy hath done this. But the same rain and sunshine and soil content that made that corn grow also made that poison ivy to grow right beside it. So he says, let me take that as an example and show you the difference between God's elect and Gog and Magog. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Same rain, it's the same garden, But thorns and briars come up and is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. We don't believe that you are thorns and briars and to be rejected. We believe that you are a true child of God. But we are there are tares among the wheat. Now, let's go back up a few verses. And let me tell you this. You remember this morning, excuse me, there in lesson number one, we told you about the guy that got the injection to prevent his death because of this disease that he had, and it didn't work. Listen, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible, hold on to those words, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. They were not enlivened. They were not born again. It did not quicken them and make them alive. They did not receive the resurrection of regeneration, which renders them blessed and holy. For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, the Holy Ghost, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They just nibbled on it a little bit and said, that's good. Have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the word of God to come. Remember, I told you to hold on to those words. For it is impossible in verse 4. Verse 6. For it is impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. You can't bring them back to where they were. Once the bell has rung, you can't unring it. After you squeeze the tube of toothpaste and it squirts out the toothpaste, you can't put it back in. Once that man receives that injection that is supposed to cure that disease, if it doesn't work, he's going to die. Once the gospel has been preached and you have said, okay, I believe it, and it has a certain effect on you, it sprang up. You was of the, of the thorny ground hero. You lasted for a while, but you got involved with the things of the world and the cares of this world, and you say, man, this is too hard for me. We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. I don't want this tribulation, so I'm going to get out of this mess. Or, not only the thorny ground here, but the stony ground here. You didn't have enough root. Your roots went down and hit the stone. And it wasn't enough to compensate for the scorching sun that came up that caused the corn and the beans and all to raise on up. They loved the sun because they had root to endure it. It's the same gospel, but it's a total opposite effect. Those who receive this and bring no fruit to fruition are Gog and Magog. Three grounds that received the seed are Gog and Magog. The one that received it and brought forth fruit unto eternal life is the true church or the elect of God. You can't renew them again. Now, how shall God handle them? We've already been through this, but let's look at Revelation 19. And verse 19. Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, that is Christ. And against his army, that's the church. And so the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. He deceived them, the devil gone forth to deceive, and them that worshiped the image, his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So we understand and see, dear soul, that this is the Lord bringing forth these unto damnation. And if you skip down to chapter 20 and verse number 14, let's read verse 13, Revelation 20, 13, along with that, Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. Revelation 20, 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every one according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So all of those that are cast into the lake of fire by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ destroying them with the brightness of his coming, by the Lord Jesus Christ destroying them without hand, Daniel 8:25. This is the Lord Jesus dealing with all the unregenerate masses that were as the sand of the sea once he's let Satan loose. Evangelism is over with, and Satan is loose to gather up all the nations of out of the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Revelation 20 and verse 8. So again, Gog and Magog cannot appear until Satan is loosed. Gog and Magog are all those that can be and have been deceived by Satan down through the ages. And at the end, Jesus Christ, before he comes, he shall allow Satan to be loosed to gather of them all together. And it's like he tells the angels, gather the tares to be burned. Gather them together. So Gog and Magog is nothing more than the devil doing his work of being a garbage collector and gathering all the garbage together, gathering together all those that refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth not is condemned already. And all the unregenerate, though evangelized, souls upon the face of the earth are Gog and Magog. Now, I told you at the beginning that we would go back and try to look at Ezekiel chapter 38. The only time, the first time that Gog, G-O-G, is mentioned is in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 4. He was the son of Joel. They were of the tribe of Reuben. Now, the next time we see them mentioned is in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38:1, and the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel the prophet, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and of Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them that them handling swords. God says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy against these people. They are a massive people. They are warfaring people. I am going to come against them. I despise them. I will stand up against them. That's what he says. I will deal with them. Verse 8. After many days thou shalt be visited, Gog and Magog. In the latter years, I'm going to say that right. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. I'm going to come after you because you're going to come after Israel. Now listen. He says, Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Gog and Magog shall going to be like the sand of the sea in number, it said in Revelation 20. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. I'm going to allow the devil to deceive you. Why was Satan released? To deceive the nations. When did Gog and Magog appear? Only after Satan was released to deceive them. What was the evil thought he put in their heart? Here it is. Verse 11, Ezekiel 38. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. All the heathens had walls around their cities. But the true church, whose protection is God Almighty, we don't build walls. So the church is called a city without a wall. So you're going to say, they don't have walls, they can't keep us out. I'm going to conquer them, and now the devil will be God. Finally, going to make it. Thou shalt say, I will go up into the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest to your souls. That dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. You can't keep us out. The devil says, now I'm going to get you. He started from the very beginning to rule over mankind, God's creation. It made him mad that God chose humankind made of the dust of the earth to glorify and be among, and not the angelic realm who were celestial and pure and holy and glorious. It made him mad. He said, you ain't going to do me this way. I will not have that man rule over me. And that's what started it all. And he said, finally, now here we come. And the gospel has done what it would, but God's released me now. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm now going to have my kingdom. And he goes forth to collect all the unregenerate, though evangelized, masses who have already been deceived. So he finds them easily deceived, and he brings them together to think, we're going to take over the church. We're going to take over religion. This thing's going to be according to what we want. I will put a thought in your mind. Thou shalt think an evil thought, Ezekiel 38 and verse number 10. So thou shalt think an evil thought. And he says, I'm going to overcome these cities without walls, the church. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 38. I'm going to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand unto the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. Those places were once uninhabited, but I'm God, have caused the waters to flow into the desert, and it blossoms like a rose, and I have made a beautiful garden out of the church of God. And the devil said, well, I'm going to have that. I'm going to get that. The places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. I gathered them out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. And so you're going to come and take a spoil, and you're going to come and overcome them and take them up. And then in verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be again in the latter days. Revelation 20 and verse 8, Gog and Magog coming in the latter days. And I will bring them against my land. The devil thought he was doing it. God said, come on. I'm going to bait you. I'm going to say, look, here's the prize. Come on and get it. The hunter stakes a little lamb out in a clearing in the jungle, ties a rope around his neck and puts it on a stake in the ground, and he's out there bleeding and crying and carrying on because there's a tiger out there in the jungle and he hears him roaring. But the lamb is not there to get killed. The lamb is there for the tiger to get killed. The lamb is just the bait. The church is just the bait. The devil's going to say, man, I'm going to take over these people. And so here comes the tiger out of the woods to come and devour, he thinks, that little lamb. And here comes the devil and going to use the masses of unregenerate people, although they are evangelized and they are deceived. And he said, I'm going to use them to take over God's kingdom. Little does the tiger know that the hunter is waiting, disguised in the jungle, just opposite of the lamb. And here comes the tiger creeping out to destroy the lamb. The lamb, and the hunter shoots and kills him. God said, "You come on after my church. Come on and do the worst you can. But don't get it in your mind that they're going to defeat themselves. Look how innocent they are. Look how weak they are. I have chosen the weak things of the earth to confound the wise. So you come after them. But what you don't realize, son, you're not dealing with that little lamb. You're dealing with a hunter with that powerful rifle waiting in the woods just opposite of you. So you come on out and show yourself, and bam, now the lion, the tiger's dead. The devil's going to come out." And we read it to you in Revelation 19. God is going to cast the beast and the false prophet and the serpent and all of those that are with him into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. This is the second death. This is what's happening. This is recorded in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. You need to read it. This is God telling you what's going to happen in the latter days. And this is me finally, after 52 years of preaching, coming to see for the first time who Gog and Magog are. In other words, God has waited till now to reveal who this is, because here we are in the latter days and we need to understand and know these things. Verse number 17 of Ezekiel 38. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? Yep, you're the one. And it shall come to pass at the same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. You just made God mad. My fury shall come up in my face. Ezekiel 38:19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Verse 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Ezekiel 38:23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Isn't that something? Hundreds, maybe thousands of years prior to Revelation 20 and verse 8 being written, God has said this through Ezekiel, his prophet. We don't have time to read you chapter 39, but that gives you an understanding of knowing exactly what is going to happen. The devil has got Gog and Magog. Jesus has got out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue those who are redeemed by his blood. So these two groups are going to be pitted against one another. But God's church is not going to have to fight. They're just going to be like the little lamb staked out in the wilderness or in the clearing in the middle of the jungle and attract all these masses, the hordes of people. And the one thing that God's going to do to clean up the unregenerate unbelievers, those people who are, I can't think of the word, They're not true believers. Hypocrites, thank you. Those people who are hypocrites, who have been members of the organized religious organizations, but not saved. God is sick of them, tired of them. He that believeth not is condemned already. Quit standing up in that local assembly and saying, "Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you saved me and all." You don't know God from third base. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon lost church members. God, have mercy upon us that we might see and understand and believe that we are not part of Gog and Magog. But you get the picture and you understand it, that God said, "I'm sick of this. My fury has come up in my face. and I'm going to handle this, and I am going to do it, and thank the Lord I didn't go over time in message number two. I hope and pray that this has been clear. We had to cover a lot of territory, a lot of ground. That's what God gave me to do, to bring to you. And I have given you chapter and verse, and I have brought things from the old that you understood and knew, tares among the wheat, the different soils. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the Lord has helped me to bring the bear upon these. I had to bring all these scriptures to you and make you understand and see that you know who this is. It just hasn't been set forth, at least by me, because I didn't know who it was until the Holy Spirit has shown it unto me. And then he gave me COVID so that I might have time to meditate and think upon these things. God gave me this message before God gave me COVID. But I thank the Lord for COVID that I had time to minister, to meditate, and to think upon these things, and to yearn for the day and pray for the day that God would let me come here as we have done today and bring all this to you. It's yours now. You can understand it. Take your time and go over this message as often as you need to make sure that you comprehend by your own Bibles and by your own faith and by your own prayers and by your own Holy Spirit to see what God is saying to you. And dear friend, if it doesn't say anything else, it tells you that we are near the very end and this thing is just about over with. Thank you again for your prayers. I appreciate so much those of you who have encouraged me and those of you who have prayed for me that God would bring me through this. And I want you to see that here I have brought you what God gave me to respond to your goodness and what God gave you to pray for me. And I have then been able to bring to you that which God gave me for you. God bless you. Thank the Lord for you. Continue to pray as we see what God's mind and will is. Amen.